anxiety we were going to talk about. If I hope I didn't create any by waiting, but I'm going to read you a few quotes. I have a few that I wrote down that are not on your notes. So I'll do those first. This is pretty good. We could just use this one. We could preach from this. So why don't you do that? Well, because I got more. Not everything that weighs you down is yours to carry. That's pretty good, isn't it? You know, nobody knows. You can get rid of that. Anxiety is a lot like a toddler. It never stops talking. It tells you that you're wrong about everything and wakes you up about 3 a.m. That's not too bad, but it's kind of true. And then our anxiety does not come from thinking about the future, but from wanting to control the future. Sometimes you just gotta let go. Not of your commitments, not of your responsibilities, but of my control of the situation. Because if he's the Lord, he's supposed to be in control. Other ones now from the outline. Many of us crucify ourselves between two thieves, regret for the past and fear of the future. Right? And if we look back at Colossians 1, which I read to us today, regret for the past has been taken care of. None of us regret anything. So it's stupid to regret it. Huh? Sorry, but that makes sense to a person like me. That wasn't on your notes, that's me, I'm sorry. I like this statement. Anxiety is the rust of life, destroying its brightness and weakening its power. A childlike and abiding trust in providence is the best preventative remedy. Pretty strong. Never trouble trouble till trouble troubles you. Don't go looking for it, because it's a private eye, is looking for you. Spurgeon, this is like the best. Anxiety does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows, but only empties today of its strengths. Ugh. Good, good. Martin Luther, pray and let God worry. Amen. Yeah. I don't know if that was what got nailed on the door, but anxiety is the natural result when our hopes are centered in anything short of God and his will for us. Billy Graham. George Mueller. If you haven't read the diary of George Mueller, be anxious until you get it. The beginning of anxiety is the end of faith, and the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. F.B. Mayer. Two things come between our souls and unshadowed fellowship, sin and care. This is a really good statement if you get a hold of this. We must be as resolute to cast our care upon the Lord as we are to confess our sins to him. Wow. Every time you mess up, 1 John 1:9, you need to confess your sin, right? And say, I sinned against you. This is my bad. And then he's able to be righteous and just and forgive you and cleanse you. That's what it says. And I think most people kind of do that. At least they know they're supposed to do that. And he's saying it should be as much a part of your everyday Christian walk to, if you mess up, you confess it. And if you're burdened down, worried, scurried, you should be saying, I cast my care upon you. I always like that. Well, way back in the day when Kathy's grandmother was alive, she had a big garden, and she thought I would be good to work in that garden. And, it's your wife's grandmother, what are you going to do? And so she had an old crummy wheelbarrow, and, the one that did this way, and so you had to do this to get it straight and all that kind of stuff. And that's really what the Lord's talking about. Get your wheelbarrow, get all the crud in it that's messing up your garden, and come over here and dump it in front of the cross. get rid of it. Cast your care, get rid of it. And that should become an ordinary, yeah, you want to call it disciplinary, but an act of belief, just like confessing your sin is. I think that's a really good way of, and I don't think we do that as well. I think we can confess. The fact is, carrying around the guilt and the shame that you shouldn't should be one of those things you could go dump, get rid of. Anxiety is the interest paid on a trouble before it's due. Ooh. I like that. And then I just threw this one in. It's easier to be busy than to be quiet. What's that got to do with anything? Well, if we're so busy caring about the difficulties and the waywardness of life, then there's no chance to be still and know that he's God. Now, I don't know. Not everybody is a homegrown American, maybe, because I can't see everybody. But Americans are real bad at this. We aren't. This is amazing. Rabbit's hole, just telling you. But about, I got an iPhone probably, 15 years ago? 12 years, I don't even know how long they've been around. So fairly early in life of iPhone, I got one. And I was stunned. I would walk into a restaurant or a store where they got some place for the guy to sit while the wife's looking at stuff, Macy's or whatever. And all these old people were sitting there messing with phones. And I thought, what in the world are they doing? And I figured they were probably playing solitaire and I didn't know it, but or Candy Crush maybe at the time. But just totally engaged in this. And I thought, that's really weird. I mean, that's not productive. That was 15 years ago. And now everybody, and I was thinking, I was making fun of a person that shouldn't know better than to do that, you know. Well, I don't do that. I mean, I do things like ESPN and stuff like that. But there's an absorption to that, and you kind of lose contact with other things. Well, I don't have time to do it. No, we're absorbed in dodging the now, and that's not healthy. Now, sometimes, I sit and, this is a really good thing. I'm real lazy. I'm energetic, but I'm lazy. And so I wait for doctor's visits, like if Kathy's got a doctor's visit and I don't get to go in on the first part of it and stuff like that because they're drawing blood and doing all that kind of stuff. I probably have 200 or 300 emails that I can just go back through and cancel. That's how I get caught up. I save them so I don't have to go look them up. I just, there's 2 weeks ago, yes, boom. I'll just answer to that one. And so that's redemptive time. I mean, it really is kind of redemptive time. But we're bad at that, and sometimes that helps us be anxious because we're not getting anything done about the thing that's bothering us. We're investing in some other thing because we have to face it or we have to think about it. And I want to say this. If you're being instructed about anxiety or stressfulness and those kind of things, it's not all just fake it till you make it, positive mental attitude. Now, it's never bad to have a positive mental attitude. I heard Derek Prince say a number of times over the years in reading and listening to his things, every Christian has the right to be an optimist. I said, good for you, man. And so that's not what I'm talking about, but you don't have to fake yourself into thinking or feeling different. You relate yourself to the shepherd, and he will help you. Okay? I have a verse I'm going to read to you now. I don't think I put it in your outline. No, I didn't. Shared it in a prayer group yesterday and had some fire on it. So we quote the last half of this verse all the time. And the last half of this verse is, it's John 16:33, last verse in John chapter 16. In this world, you will have tribulation, but fear not. Right? We quote that all the time. In this world, you will have tribulation. Have you ever read the first part of the verse? Killer. Just killer. Let me read it to you. Jesus is saying, now this is John 16, the end, last verse of John 16. We only got a few chapters left. I mean, he's a chapter and a half away from being crucified. And he says, these things, speaking to the disciples, I have spoken to you so that, here's why I spoke these things to you, in me you may have peace. Not about me, not on a bumper sticker. In me you may have peace. Well, I lack peace. It's in him. And so are you, and he's in you. But that's where you go. You see, the blood of Jesus conquered this whole thing. And peace by the blood of the cross came so there could be peace. And he said, it's in me. Let me read the whole thing to you. These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you may have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. And so if you're going to quote the first part, he's saying, in me you have peace. So when the tribulation that is in the world comes, you can live in the overcomingness of my life, my victory, my peace, my power. Are you with me? This is good. So he's already telling them, in this world you're going to have tribulation. And you're going to think it's coming big and quick because I'm leaving. I'm going to go to the cross, and I'm going to be out of here. And you're going to think you're in the biggest tribulation you've ever been in. But remember what I said before I said that. What I said, I'm telling you what I'm going to tell you because it's in this phrase, in me. That's where there's peace.
That's right.
In me. And so how you find him is how you find peace. Now, and he says, you know, not as the world gives, you know, peace give I to you, my kind, the shalom of God, power of God, love of God, presence of God, and we can go and go and go. So make sure you put both halves of that verse together. I probably quote this verse several times a week, every week. Somebody will say, this happened and this happened. I said, well, in this world, Bible says we're going to have trouble. Put it on your refrigerator. We will have trouble. No, you don't need to do that. You don't. But I'm speaking truth to you. You're going to have it. I mean, I had somebody call me one day. My washer broke. Well, I'm sorry. Like, we got one here if you want to. No. We prayed over that washer. And I said, okay. What's the brand? You know? And I said, well, you know, that I forget what it was. It doesn't matter. Speed Queen, something like that. One of those. And I said, you know, I've got some insight onto that. What's that? I said, they are made by human beings. And there's an automatic self-disintegration when it comes time for you to buy a new one. And that's what happens. Well, yeah, but we prayed over it. I said, well, has it served you well up to this point? Yes. We had it 9 years. And I said, well, in the old days, you could buy a Maytag and it'd last that long. But I said, no, it's like a water heater. You know, you're looking at 10 years, maybe 12 years, something like that, an air conditioner, 10, 15 years, and they just die. I mean, they don't even whimper. They just, and she thought, well, this is the devil. I said, no, Speed Queen is made by human beings. One of which you are. And I mean, now I understand if the Lord said you pray over this thing, it'll last you for the rest of your life. Well, then you need to. He's smarter than that. Can he cause something like that to happen? Of course. I mean, of course. The point is, all of a sudden they were in great despair. Well, me too, because I don't want to go spend money on a washing machine, you know. But I'm human. I get dirty clothes. I need one. But it was like the enemy had their address. And now he knew where they were. And he's going to pick them apart and he's starting with their washer. Now that's a little silly, isn't it? But you can take on anxiety and worry and stress from that happening when you can say, I should just Google and find out how many washing machines were sold last month. You'll find out. This is happening all over the world. Now, is that a bad thing? Yeah, and can you feel sorry for them, and you, yeah, and do they have to make payments on it or something? That's not a good deal at all. But it's going to happen. I grew up in a body shop, and every once in a while, we'd fix a car, and you know, it took a little more money or a little more time or something like that. And we'd always say, "Hey, on your way home, drive by the junkyard, because they're all going to look like that." Because they're made by human beings, and they're made out of metal, and they're left out in the rain and the snow in Iowa. And they're going to get rusty and crusty, and that's why you're bringing them to us. But it's not made to work forever. And we as humans have to recognize, in this world, you will have tribulation. Not because God hates you, it's because the world is atrophying, circling the bowl, I like to say. And it's wearing out. The Bible says that. It's passing away. And so temporary things made by temporary people with profit as their motive, things are going to bust up, right? Now, I've known some people who've had refrigerators that last them 30 years. Okay, so good for you, you know, favor of God, whatever it is. But you know what? That's going too. And so we let things govern the way we feel for reasons that are unreasonable. That's all the only point I'm trying to make. And the Lord is saying, we got to get an equilibrium on this. And you can have the most positive mental attitude about that if you want to, but if the motor's shot, you know, I did a stupid human thing last year. Well, I've done one since then too. But I was carrying in a bunch of groceries, and I don't know, those plastic bags, you can slide those suckers up your arm. You can carry a whole bunch of those in. And I had, I don't know, like 15, 16 bags, and I'm doing it, and I got a big old watermelon in my hands. And I get in the door, and I try to kick the door closed behind me, and when you do that, watermelons do that on my glass top stove. Oh, it was a shattering experience. So Kathy says, "What was that?" And I said, yeah, you don't want to know. And so I looked at it, and it's all, so I got on the phone and called whomever, I don't remember, anyway, and I got a real nice lady at some place that fixes appliances, and she said, "What's the serial number?" And I said, you know, snap, crackle, and pop, I don't know. She's figuring it out, and she goes, "Well, I've got good news and bad news." I said, "What's that?" She said, "Well, good news is it can be fixed." Oh, okay. Bad news, it's $50 cheaper to replace it, the whole unit. Really? I never did get the good news. And it was all my fault. It was just stupid human stuff. And I said, "Well, what do we do?" She says, "I can have you one in about 6 days." And I said, "I don't really want one." $1,100. That was the most expensive watermelon I ever. And you could feel like, man, the devil's really picking on me today. No, I was a moron. I was trying to do too many things, save myself a trip 18 feet into the garage. At first I'm going, this is not what I need right now. I said, "Lord, what's the deal?" And then I thought, the deal was I was being an idiot. That's what. And so I said, "Babe, you won't believe what I did. It's broken, huh?" And I said, "Yep. What are we going to do?" And I said, "Replace it." She said, "Have you already taken care of that, huh?" And I said, "Yeah." And they're going to bring it and set it in and all that kind of stuff. And then she said, "Probably won't do that again." I don't know if that's a threat or a promise, but. And I looked at that and I thought, I was mad about it, honestly. I didn't say, "Lord, thank you for me dropping that watermelon." I didn't have to carry that heavy burden any longer. But I didn't tremble and say, "Oh, now she's probably mad at me and the Lord's probably disappointed in me." I just thought, No, that was stupid. My bad. And, you know, and what, was this because I was some kind of blazing spiritual leader and I'm getting punished by the devil? I don't think so. I think of my answer was, I am never buying another watermelon. Because, you see, somebody has to cut those suckers up. I hate doing that. I mean, I don't enjoy doing that. I do it because it's got to be done, you know. And if you buy the little ones already cut up, a quart baggie is the same as the 12-pound watermelon, so you can't do it. But I'm trying to make fun of myself, which isn't hard to do. But we'll get afflictions like that. Things like that will happen to us. And all of a sudden, gloom, despair, and agony on me. And we'll walk out of the room like we got a target on our, you know, on our chest and bullseye just got hit. No, this happens. Some of this stuff just happens. And if I'd have been thinking, I wouldn't have done that. But I've done that almost all my life to try to, lazy man's load. You know, I carry it all at once, get it in there, I don't have to go back. Dummy. But you can't turn that then and now think that's warfare. I don't think that's warfare. I think that's stupid human stuff. So a positive mental attitude would be, oh, wow, that stove was probably going to blow up, and so God saved us. Amen. And ding, 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 that's a lie, that's a lie. Are you with me? So, you guys are going slow here. Know that peace is in Him. Philippians chapter 4. Always be glad in the Lord, even when you drop the watermelon. Always be glad in the Lord. Now, what's Paul talking about? Always be glad in the Lord. This is a guy that's been whiplashed and left for dead and stoned, I mean with rocks, and, you know, all sorts of horrible things, pain, people just leaving him, stabbing him in the back. And he says, always be glad. Haven't you met people that when they walk in the room, it just kind of turns the lights on a little bit? And now, some of that is just mindlessness. But for people in the Lord, they've found a reason to be glad. Like, this is a day the Lord has made. Amen. I would have liked him to have made it different. But this is the way that this is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. It's another day. I'm still fogging the mirror. We're still moving. Things are happening. And if someone says that that's never had any trouble, as a man of sin, it doesn't mean as much to you. This guy's had more trouble than anybody. Always be glad in the Lord. And then he says, and I'll repeat it. Always be glad. So maybe we're supposed to get that. Let your forbearing spirit be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Ah, which means, well, it means he thought he was coming. Yeah, and he also thinks he's right there with him. The Lord is near. Don't be, this is so good. This is the Weymouth translation, by the way. Don't be over anxious about anything. Well, other places he says, don't be anxious about anything. Don't be over anxious about anything. Well, how do you avoid that? By prayer and earnest pleading together with thanksgiving, let your requests be unservedly made known to the presence of God. Tell him how you feel. Tell him what it looks like. Tell him what it feels like. And tell him, that peace that's in you, I need some of that. Let it be made known in the presence of God. And then the peace of God, because it's in him, which transcends all our powers of thought, which would be stress and anxiety, will be a garrison, that's like an army, to guard your hearts and minds in union with Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever wins respect, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovable, whatever is good repute, if there is any virtue of anything deemed worthy of praise, cherish the thought of these things. Now, is that, well, I'm going to have a positive mental attitude. No, I'm going to get really impregnated by the truth. I'm going to look at the truth. I'm going to say the truth. I'm going to sing the truth. I'm going to have the truth where the peace of God is influence me. Now, somebody with a good attitude, I'm not bugging that. People that are, you know, the glass isn't just half empty. It's leaking on the floor. That's no fun. But to just try to fake it till you make it isn't making it. So it's about truth. It's about reality. Now, and the reality may be, as Mike was saying, I'm all busted up over here and I've got pain coming here. But you know that. And you know how to take care of that. And I'm putting my trust in you, though the circumstances tell me to do everything but that. And so you got to recognize the lie of the circumstance. That's why truth is so important. Turn to the truth. In one of the Bibles that I read, this is Matthew chapter 6. It's the head of it says, the cure for anxiety. Well, I like that. For this reason, I say to you, don't be worried about your life as to what you will eat or drink or what you will wear. He's writing this to Americans. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth more than the birds? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? Nobody can. And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow, and they do not toil and they don't spin, yet even Solomon in all his glory didn't clothe himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith. Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, where will our building be? That's not in there. For the Gentiles, this would be non-believers, is what he's talking about. For non-believers, eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows what you need and that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Oh. And see, when things get added to you, they also push out the stuff that needs to get subtracted from you. Hello? And so, what's he going to add? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. All these things that you should cherish and think. Right? And righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's how he defines the kingdom. Right? You get that added to you, and guess what? Then you can make fun of yourself for being a bimbo and breaking up the glass. It's not funny up till then. But when you recognize, oh, he's able to keep this whole thing together, which means he can help me keep my thing together. Holds the whole universe together by his word of power. I think he can probably insert a little word of power to us, and our little universes can hold true too. So real quickly, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. It had to put that in there, didn't it? Seek the kingdom and his righteousness. Beck says, well, first, be eager to have God as your king. Amen. Which means, like, you're yielding control to him. That's a cosmic yes. Goodspeed says, you must make his kingdom and uprightness before him your greatest care. So, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. That's how he's supposed to help you cure anxiety. So seek first the kingdom. First in priority. That's just a decision you make. I'm with you. As for me and my house, we serve the Lord. First in prominence. That's a declaration you establish. I'm going to say yes. First as in first love. It's a devotion of heart. Some years ago, I was reading this verse, and all of a sudden, I let myself go into a song. I'm not going to do it, I don't think, but but it's old. But I first, as in first love, young love, first love, filled with true devotion. And the next verse, filled with true emotion. We might need a little of that. Freshness, first love. First in order, that's a direction of will to an order given. He said, seek ye first. Instead, I might do that. No, it's a command. First in schedule, that's a determination of commitment. First in first place, it's a definition. It's a place to start, like first base, first lap, first point. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. That's his government, his lordship, his rule, his reign, the realm of his dominion. And the effect of that, then, is the righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to skip down to the bottom of that page if you're following the page. I'm going to go over those things. Because I didn't tell you this. I was going to work this in. I'm just going to say it. Next week, our team that went to Latvia and Estonia are going to be here and going to give us the stories back. What happened? Who did what? And then depending on their windiness, I'll finish this or something else. Because if they do good, then I don't do anything. see, that can relieve you of anxiety right there. But I want you to get this, because we miss this. And this is very significant. And then I'm going to have Scott come in a minute. Righteousness. He said, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. Now it also says, and these all this other stuff will get added to you. But the thing that we have a problem with is, if I'm seeking the Lord, then I got to be righteous. And I did this and I didn't do that. This is a very good quote. Righteousness is not primarily an ethical quality, but a right relationship. The divine acquittal from guilt and sin. To seek the kingdom of God means to seek God's righteousness, and to receive the kingdom of God means to receive that accompanying righteousness as a gift. George Eldon Ladd. And then all these things will be added to you. And there's a lot more to talk about stress and anxiety, and we'll come back and do that either next week or the following. I just want you to know this. Peace is in him. He distributes it just like he did the blood from the cross. And it's ours already. It's yours by covenant commitment. It's yours. And so where do I find peace? In him. How do I do this? Say, Lord, I don't know how to do this. You got to help me get out of this. And you got to know this. I like it when I was going to say, that's not quite right. Let me retract that statement. When I'm in trouble, I don't like being in trouble. When I'm in trouble, I like it when the Lord gets me out of it. But I could take you through the healing ministry of Jesus, and there's dozens of different ways that he heals people. So when God's dealing with your trouble, he's just as apt to get you through it as he is to get you out of it. And him being the boss, you can't be too disappointed if he says, I'm going to climb in there with you. I'm going to get you through this. I was thinking about getting out. And there are times when he does that, it just extricates you from the situation. I mean, literally, I've had that happen, like, okay. And other times where, put your hand up and I'll get a hold of your elbow and we'll slug this thing out. So when you're in trouble and feeling difficult, you have to know that sometimes God's answer is to get in there and fix it with you. Not necessarily to extract you from the situation. But the result's the same. Sometimes the process has power. And that's what's important. And sometimes that's the school he's taking us through. Other times just saying, you don't have to take this. And it's gone. I love that part. I would sign up for that. I get in that line every time that I can. But if we're really seeking first the kingdom, then it's his lordship, it's his will, it's his desire, his purpose. That's number one, not necessarily my pleasure. That's number one. Are we good?
Yeah.
But we were in the prayer room yesterday, and I said, this is a really good fit.
Thank you. So the Lord just told us,
it worked.
You don't have to eat it.
No.
In the world, you will have tribulation. But it also says in his word that he sends refreshment.
Yeah.
And that's what he was speaking to us yesterday in the prayer room. Refreshment from his presence. And so we looked at a couple of scriptures yesterday. I have a couple of handouts left over from yesterday. If you want to grab one of those afterwards, you can grab that. But especially two verses, Acts 3:19 and 20, it says, "And now you must repent and turn back to God so that your sins will be removed." And there's a footnote in the Passion, obliterated or canceled. "So that times of refreshing will stream from the Lord's presence." And he was inviting us into that yesterday, and we just took a step into that stream and got refreshed. And then Psalm 84, "When they walk through the valley of weeping, it will become a place of refreshing springs. The autumn rains will clothe it with blessings." So Josh, Amanda, talking about Death Valley, or the valley of the shadow of death. And then Anne came up to me and talked about after their 50th wedding anniversary, they went to Death Valley. Mm-hmm. And she was in a valley that should have been dead because it was Death Valley, but it was very beautiful. And the Lord can come into Death Valley or the Valley of Weeping, and he can make that place a place of refreshing. And he wants to, I believe he wants to minister refreshing to you this morning. So if you just put yourself in a receptive posture, what I felt like he said to me this morning is he wants to refresh the refreshers. So Holy Spirit, I just ask you to come now and rest upon us, Lord. In the world, we will have tribulation. This morning, you are ministering refreshment. And we receive that, Lord. We receive refreshment from the Spirit of God. Refreshers, be refreshed. Renew the responsible. Those who are doing the stuff. Mm-hmm. Those who are doing what they're supposed to. Those who are bearing the burdens that they have to bear. They're being responsible. Lord, would you renew them in their responsibility? Would you energize the encouragers, Lord? We just want to step into that stream of refreshment this morning. We thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for it. We declare death is swallowed up in victory. Death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? We receive refreshment. And Mike, as you were sharing what you were sharing, I just heard Paul talking to Timothy, fight the good fight. Mm-hmm. Fight the good fight. Yep. Fight the good fight. And we do that by enjoying the times of refreshment that he brings to us. And I just pray, as we prayed in the prayer room yesterday, Lord, as they have this conference this week, Lord, that there would be streams of refreshment, that those who come from across the city, those who might have come from across the nation, Lord, to this place, Lord, that they would be refreshed, mm-hmm. that they would step into that stream of refreshment, they would be renewed, they would be encouraged, so that they can fight the good fight, Lord.
That is like first love. That is like touching that the Christmas, the freshness of the presence of the Lord. And I want to just tag something on here. We've been bold enough over the years to say, Harmony Vineyard, a healing place. And I can tell you, I had people say, why don't you put that on there? I said, well, I think it is, but I finally did. And I've had, I don't know, dozens and dozens and dozens of people tell me this really is a healing place for this reason, the other, and all that kind of stuff. So would you join me just now before we do anything else? We got hundreds of people coming into this place. And Lord, would you prove this to be a healing place for hundreds of people, spirit, soul, and body? People that are coming desperate for that reason, and other people who desperately need it but aren't carrying it, don't think they deserve it, don't think they merit it. And Lord, I know there's lots of people with different personalities and different gift mixes and all that kind of stuff, but I pray that the Word of God, it says you send your Word and heal people. And I pray that there would be a laundry list of people who get touched in ways they may not even be thinking of or counting on. And that refreshing would go back to where they are and like fire. And healing would happen because it did happen. It would happen here and bring refreshing to others in other places, because you brought people here that are ambassadors for you, and they're able to take it wherever it is that they go. And it's like, I feel like the Lord's saying, yeah, and that's in you guys' downline, because you have cooperated with me so that can happen. So Lord, I pray that people walk in the door and something happens. I mean, when they walk in the door, the presence of the Lord, presence of the Lord. I really like the phrase Scott used, refreshing the refreshers. And sometimes you think, well, I got to do this and I've got to do that and I'm scheduled to do this. You just need to push that back for just a minute and say it, Lord. Cup of cool water. In the name of the Lord. Just a cup of cool water. In the name of the Lord. Come, Lord. I'm going to risk something here. I like talking about things I think I know something about. This would not be one of them. But my mom had an apple peeler, where you put an apple on a thing like this and you turn the handle like this and it took the redness off of the apple. So anybody, you know what I'm talking about? Has anybody been doing that? I mean, we were supposed to pray for somebody who had one of those and was doing that. I didn't even know they exist anymore. But it's like, why? Because when you do that, you get to all the stuff that's good, you know, and you also get rid of the core. So you get rid of the crud that you can't use. I thought, everybody would like to have that. Everybody would like to say, I've been trying to get rid of this. Yeah, it doesn't work. It doesn't taste good. I can't eat it. It's worthless. And getting this off means you get to the good stuff. So Lord, today, I just put that, and this could be for someone that's live streaming with us and not here to see what we're talking about. But Lord, we want to get rid of the core of problems. We want to get rid of the reason why we need to be refreshed. It's not just labor and stuff. Sometimes it's stuff people have put on us. As I was talking about, that stress, anxiety, God and people. All of those can be causative to us or a response to it. We want to, just like that apple, Lord, that you made the whole thing so that, you know, you could have cobblers and pies and all good stuff. But we get rid of the core, get rid of the trouble, we get rid of the thing that doesn't taste good, doesn't even make you think it is an apple. And we get rid of the what's on the surface, just the peel, that is really a superficial thing. It's the heart, it's the fruit that's important. And I pray you that you would make sense of this for people. And they would realize, this is the hand of the Lord here to help me. Cast away what needs to get cast away. And enjoy the fruit, the sweet wonderfulness of why we got the apple in the first place. Lord, you are genuine in all that you do. Help us cast off the core. Not live in the superficial of the peel. And enjoy the fruit of all that you have to give us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I think we'll stop there. Thank you, Scott. So, here's the deal. This week, no prayer meeting on Monday or Wednesday. My class, we're going to skip on Wednesday, but we're going to come back and fill the rest of the month with healing talk.
You'll... The ladies' Tuesday Bible study.
Yes. Yes, the ladies will meet on Tuesday because there's no Tuesday morning meeting here. But the rest of the week, there is. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, there is.
I'm being very bold.
I need to get my microphone.
I'm not making up this word. I can yell real good.
At least I took it out of my pockets.
I just suddenly got a word, and it's the word salvo. Hmm. Mike's an artillery guy. But I don't think that same way. I believe that the Lord is saying to me, I mean, there's lots of different things about the drops of bombs, and I'm not going to even go there. But the definition that suited the most was something suggested of a salvo is a sudden burst, a salvo of cheers. And I think when we kind of need those right now, a spirited attack. And it's the first salvo of a political campaign. And I, you know, it talks about bombs, but I mean, we need some spiritual bombs right now, which are really sudden, unexpected, hard, shattering us, noisy. You know, we can watch the news and it kind of looks like this. But I think, you know, God is hand in hand on those things, that in the natural, there's a spiritual link that are very, I don't know, but, combined with each other.
Right.
It's yes and yes.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know, but I had to say that.
No, cool. It's like what happens from the sky helps the troops on the ground take the advantage that they're supposed to take. So you need, this is a prayer thing, but we need covering from heaven. We need divine intervention to clear ways so that those of us who are down here doing the walk-a-day, work-a-day world have the power, have the coverage, and have the enemy push back so that we can do that. That's very salvo-ish. It really is. So what does that mean? Pray. Be in contact with what he's doing. Loose what is being loosed from heaven and walk in it. That sounds good to me. That work for you?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what we'll do then. So, but the Tuesday ladies Bible study is meeting because they're not meeting during the day on Tuesday, but they are Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Now, if you drive by here late on Friday night, don't panic. Because those guys are going to stay here till 2 or 3 in the morning to have it all ready for us for Sunday. And so it'll be, I just told the alarm company, just don't turn it on. Yeah. Just leave it off because they're going to be here most of the night to do that. And after you've done 4 or 5 days of meetings, morning and evening, you're going to need Saturday off. So they've decided they're just staying on Friday night until they can have it spick and span, which I thought, that's probably a good deal because they're going to need a day off on Saturday. And besides that, then we can come in and check in on Saturday. If we have to do anything, we will. But they were here the other evening, and Melissa came to check things, and they didn't have to do anything because it was all done, which good for them. right? I mean, so, but it needs to be ready for Sunday. That's all I said. No, we need Sunday. We don't care when you do it, but we need Sunday. So they're going to come Friday evening and do that. They're going to, I mean, the meeting will be over probably at 11:30 or 12, and then cut them loose. So, but the parking lot will be full every time that you come by, and it's okay. I mean, it's a good thing. A lot of good things will happen, and they're going to enjoy the speakers. You know, you guys don't know this, but we've had a blind spot, a dead spot over here where the elders sit. When you sit there, it's so hard to hear anything. And today you can hear it at like a bell because multitudinous other speakers covering all that kind of stuff. So it's a blessing to what's happening in the building, and we'll get to be blessed by it until we get out of here. So if anybody asks you, where are you going? Onward and upward. But if you know of a place, okay, are we good?
Yeah.
Go in peace. Amen.